Welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, aka The Whip Show. And right now, you are railing with the World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Joe Walker. On our previous episode, we dared to fantasize what would happen if Jade Cargill challenged the Brickhouse Camille. And the response to this query has been tremendous. But we felt, given the response and how passionate people are about this subject, that we needed to continue it and further it and add it a little more context. So I didn't want to do that on my own. So I decided to bring in not just any expert, but the expert, the founder and creator of the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, aka The Whip Show, the one and only Deshaun Whip Dog Whipple.
Man, well, thank you very much, but I don't know how in the world I'm going to live up to all that, but let's see what we can do, bro.
It's always good to talk to you, man. Great to have you on this segment of the show, man. The Whip Show podcast is tremendous. Everybody that's a part of it, we all enjoy it, and we hope that everybody that's listening is enjoying it. And this is the first time that we got to collab on railing. I've been a guest on The Whip Show, but to have you, you know, stop by railing, it means a lot, man. So let's get into it. Whip, so what do you think about the idea of Jade Cargill, if she was to lose her first match, have that opponent be the Brickhouse Camille?
Well, first and foremost, man, I do want to say thank you for letting me be on here, because like I said, and you're right, it has been an amazing response. You've actually broke the record. You're the number one video podcast that we've had with the Camille versus Jade Cargill. But with that being said, I don't know, man. I think that really would be awesome if Camille did it, because I actually went to Dallas, and during the Busted Open Radio party, they interviewed Camille, the Brickhouse, and they asked her who would her dream opponent be, and she said she wanted Jay Cargill. I mean, looking at both of them, they're built very similar. Their work rate is a little bit similar as well. Now, I believe Camille was trained by Bully Ray, so she does have a little bit more experience. But they're both powerhouses, man. But, man, I really can see that. But I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
One of the comments that I saw on the page was referencing Camille being one of the baddies. How would you like a storyline with Jay Cargill actually bringing Camille in as a baddie, and then they break off into a feud and a story?
You know, I saw that, and I replied to that comment. I thought it was an interesting perspective. I don't think Camille is much of a follower, so I don't know how that would have worked. Would it be interesting? Yeah, of course. You were these two women who command attention together in this faction or this group, and then eventually they find a disagreement and it leads to a match. But as far as Camille, you know, being one of the baddies, for me, I couldn't see it. I can't see her being a follower.
Right.
She's too dominating.
Now, my only one question is this. With Camille being part of Strictly Business, with her husband now, Thomas Latimer, and Jay Cargill having the baddies and only having Stokely as her manager, how would you get there, though? What would make Thomas Latimer not even be a part of this? What would make the baddies stay away? How could you get there if you were to write that book?
Well, this was actually a subject that I was thinking about talking about on an upcoming episode. And I guess we could drop a teaser in there. Why not? What I envision, if it could happen, is them somehow, some way, being the two finalists in the Mae Young Classic. Now, Triple H, Paul Levesque, Creative Control, WWE, he said even before his new position transpired, if you go back a year or more, when people started to ask him about AEW collaborating with WWE and WWE working with outside companies, the Forbidden Door, when they started throwing that term around, Triple H's response was, "We're open for business." Now that he's back in control, could we see the return of the Mae Young Classic? I, as a wrestling fan, would love to see it, and I'm sure I'm not alone. But imagine if he truly means that, and he starts bringing in these competitors from other promotions. And if he does, he can grab stars from, you know, New Japan, MLW, from all over to have clout. But if you start talking about big names in a tournament like that, who else? Imagine that final. Wow, that would be crazy. What do you think?
Man, I like that idea right there. Now, since you're talking about visualizing things, if you go back to Hogan versus Rock, do you remember that WrestleMania match?
Absolutely. I have it on DVD. I love it.
And that, to me, and as much as I love so many matches of The Rock and so many matches of Hogan, to me, that is my number one match ever. I know a lot of people say Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and different matches, but that is my number one match of all time. Mm. But I say that, if you remember, there was a point in the match where they both look at each other. They both look left, and they both look right. And while they were doing that, the anticipation built with the fans into a roar, and they hadn't even touched each other. So imagine if Jade goes through her bracket of the Mae Young Classic. Imagine if Camille goes through strongly her bracket of the Mae Young Classic, and they meet in the middle. Oh my God. The place probably would go crazy before they even punch each other.
It would. Now, since you referenced your all-time favorite match with Hogan versus The Rock, I have to throw my all-time favorite match on top of this also, because when you're talking about them clashing in the ring, I see it as a hard-hitting affair, and my favorite match was a very hard-hitting affair, and that was Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit for the WWE title at the Royal Rumble. That is my all-time favorite match. Now imagine them just going move for move, power for power, aggression for aggression, back and forth to the bitter end. That would be, what a sight. How often do you see a match between women that way? I don't know if I've ever seen one like that.
I totally agree. I totally agree, man, because, again, that is the only person I think truly matches up well with Jade Cargill, especially, like you said, for the first loss. I know people were throwing out Bianca Belair, and they're throwing out Havoc and different people like that. But no, I totally agree. Camille might be the one to take her down, because it also won't hurt Jade Cargill. Mm-hmm. We got All Out coming up, and she's going against Athena. And obviously, Athena has been a wrestler around the world. But when you look at them visually, let's be honest, Athena doesn't visually stack up in my eyes.
No, she doesn't in mine either.
Jade Cargill.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, if she beats Jade Cargill straight up at All Out this weekend, then it's like, I think Jade loses a little bit of her mystique. If Jade loses to Camille, no, we ready for round two. We ready for part two.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I've given this a lot of thought just over this last week. Camille and Jade, and you know, with the comments, people throwing some names out there, like who else could match up against them, period. Not just against Jade, not just Camille, but against both of them. But I can't find very many people that visually like match up. It looks like that's the right opponent. Charlotte comes to mind. Rhea Ripley comes to mind. And there's not very many others.
Oh, man.
If you want to talk about skill, you know, just putting them against a skilled opponent, then Sasha.
Yeah.
And outside of Sasha, the Native Beast, Nyla Rose.
Right.
There's not very many. There's not very many that's going to match them in the aggression. Get just the skill, but the aggression.
On your first part, on part one, you referenced Thunder Rosa. Obviously, she's down with an injury right now, but she's still listening to Tony Khan today on Busted Open Radio. She's still the champion, so they're going to do the interim champion thing like they did with Punk. But as you stated, Thunder Rosa was the AEW World's Champion. But there's a reason they kept them totally separate from each other, her and Jade. Because if you put Thunder Rosa, and I know Thunder has that fighting spirit, but you cannot make them look like a competitive match. I am sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, at that point, you'd have like, that would be the same as Rey Mysterio going against Brock Lesnar, if you ask me.
Right.
So you're right. There's not many people visually that can match up aesthetically, and because wrestling is an aesthetic business, no matter what people say, we have to have something that will make people buy in.
Correct. And you mentioned Rey and Brock Lesnar. I've seen Rey Mysterio lose a lot of matches. I've only seen him be bludgeoned once, and that's when he ran up on Brock.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
That's when he ran up on Brock. So I look across that All Elite Wrestling roster, and like I said, Nyla comes to mind, and beyond her, the Professor. Who else you got that can match up with Jade? Who else do you have?
I'm glad you touched on Nyla Rose. See, now there's also another issue. Now, this is the worker in me. This is the pro wrestler in me coming out.
Here we go.
We're talking about how good Jade looks as a pro wrestler. I mean, you talked about on the first episode, she looks like a superstar. The world is going to be at her beck and call in the next 2 years. You know that.
You know it.
But the one thing Jade still needs to progress on is her actual in-ring ability. I mean, she's good enough for what she does now. Mm-hmm. But if you put her against a person like Nyla Rose, Nyla Rose is still kind of, she's good, but she's not there all the way yet, if you ask me. Jade also has to be in the ring with somebody that can truly lead her to a great match as well. Mm. So then that also takes some other people off the table. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can't have a green bean, if to the fans, the green bean is a youngin' in the business, if you will. Mm-hmm. You can't have a green bean in there with Jade. You got to have a worker in there with Jade. So now you got two dilemmas. They got to be a worker, but they also got to look like they could kick some tail. Come on, man.
Correct. You're right. And that makes that shortens that list tremendously, significantly shortens that list. And, you know, this matchup, you know, the more I think about it, the more it makes me want to see it. It makes me hype for it and the possibility of it. And I would hope that anyone in charge of these rivaling promotions, they would find a way, if they really care about what the fans want, to give the fans these matches that they really want to see. If there is a dream matchup, why not take the Dana White approach and just say, let's just do it? You know what I mean? Why wait? Let's just do it. They can find a way to do it. They did it in the NWA territory days. The matches that people wanted to see, they did them. So I think let's get it done. Let's make this happen. Whip Dog, can you make it happen?
Listen, I'm going to start a campaign. I'm glad you did this. I'm going to start a campaign. # Brick House versus the Baddie. Because it really needs to be done. Because I know I like to reference a lot of things, but that's just how my wrestler brain works. Tommy Dreamer once had a problem with a quote-unquote forbidden door. And I know on your previous episode, you're not a huge fan of that terminology. Mm-hmm. But Tommy Dreamer said the only problem he had with the quote-unquote forbidden door, it didn't seem like it benefited NWA as much as it did AEW. He said you didn't see a lot of women, Impact as far as coming through. You didn't see a lot of women coming through the forbidden door at that time. They used who? The good brothers, you know. Mm-hmm. They might have sprinkled people in, but primarily it helped AEW because in the end, most of their guys went over. We really should have more women coming over. The only reason Thunder Rosa got an AEW, she had to walk away from her NWA contract. But I don't think that needs to be done with Camille. I think Camille still needs to be the NWA women's champion and go against Jay Cargill. I think it'd be even bigger if they did it that way, don't you think?
I do. And I have some other ideas about the feud, you know, a potential feud long term between Jade and Camille. But I'm going to save that for another episode of Railing. And Whip, we're going to have you come back and join the discussion once again, because you are a wrestling hero and insider, and nobody does it better.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you haven't already, make sure you listen to Railing. This man knows the wrestling world. Where you got guys like myself and Coach, sometimes our wrestler brain takes us into a selfish stance. This man truly looks at it from a wrestling fan's point of view. And that's what you really need out here.
Well, let's get this movement going. Hashtag Batty versus the Brick House. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Railing with the World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Joe Walker, on the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, a.k.a. The Whip Show. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and support the platform wherever you get your podcasts from. Follow The Whip Show podcast on all social media, and follow me on Twitter at Mr. Joe Walker. No excuses. Championships only. Be kind. Be creative. Win.